Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Thankful to be found in the kingdom of God and to be on the front line in the army of the living God. And I pray that tonight that you guys would be blessed, that the word would strengthen you and encourage you. I love how God just confirms certain things. You know, as a minister, you know, when it comes time to preaching, you seek the face of God. You want to hear from heaven. You want to give the people a word that, you know, is in season, something that can really minister to them and what they're going through. And this morning I got, some confirmation for the word for this morning and also for this evening's word. It was through that old Respected video, that Respected ministry. They are something else. They're doing a great work for the Lord. Tonight I have titled the sermon, Nothing is in Vain. You know, there's a lot of things that we can, as believers, spend our time on that really turns out to be really a waste of time. You know, the end of it really doesn't produce anything of great value. We just sit and waste our time. Watching TV, scrolling and searching through the internet, scrolling through social media, worrying, it's a big one, procrastinating. If you're like us at our home, we waste a lot of time trying to figure out where we're going to go eat at. Well, I hear some people say, we're not the only ones. if you're youth, you know, video games, and really the list goes on and on and on. There's a lot of things that we find ourselves doing that really is unproductive and unfruitful endeavor. And again, like I said, nothing really of great value comes out of it. Well, Paul, in his first letter to the church at Corinth, spoke of something that is never a waste of time. So let's take a look at what it is. So our main text that we're going to look at tonight is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. And it reads, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Paul is telling the believers, the Corinthians, that their labor in the Lord is not in vain. Not just any old kind of labor, but it says in the Lord. In other words, anything that we are putting our hands and feet to do, and it is in regards to God, His kingdom, the work of His kingdom. Tonight, I want to look at these scriptures, and I want to kind of pull out a few key words, and I pray that it would really bless you. And the first word is the word labor in that scripture. The word labor is from the Greek word kopos, and speaks of a work or an effort that is extremely exhausting. Many of you work physical jobs out in, first one that comes to mind is Brian Thomas, you know, and anyone else that has got a lawn landscaping or a lawn maintenance business in summer of Florida, that's an exhausting work. And there's a lot of physical jobs that we can have that are very tiresome. I want to tell you, church, and as you already know, that there is a great work for us as children of God that is to be done. Jesus speaks about it to his disciples in Matthew 9, verses 37 and 38, if we can bring that up. Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." That word plentiful speaks of something that is extremely numerous, large. The world that we live in is in great need. And just as in the days of Jesus, he went about and multitudes followed him, chased after him. Really, things, not much have changed. The world is dying. People are hurting, living in the world without Christ and are in great need. He talked to his disciples also in John chapter 4, verse number 35. one of my favorite portions of Scripture. I know I say that a lot, but it's all good. He says, do you not say that there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? But I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. You see, church, we don't have to look too far to find the need. All we got to do is just lift up our heads and look. There's people all around us. Neighbors, the mailman, people at the grocery store, people that you see when you're out and about, people in the workplace, even people in your own family. You see, Jesus talked about how the harvest being truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. You see, because there's so much great need in the world and few laborers, oftentimes we find ourselves stretched. We find ourselves working a lot, exhausted and a little wearied sometimes, having a lot of things on our plate. And I know that a lot of you can relate. You guys pour in and pour in and pour into people all the time. And even when we're pouring into people, sometimes when you're being stretched, you get a little discouraged at times because you want to see fruit from your labor. You know, I think about how, you know, you go and you, let me just use myself as an example. You know, we've had a little bit of, an opportunity to put some garden beds in our backyard, and we've been planting some vegetables, but, you know, it's been a lot of work. And I'm just using this kind of analogy to kind of bring something out here is, you know, you go and you spend, you know, a couple of hours and you build this garden bed, and you go and pick up a load of dirt and soil, and you come back and you unload and put it in a wheelbarrow, Pastor Mike's wheelbarrow, and you go and you unload it and you fill it up, and you get your seeds down and you're planting them, and then you got to watch out for bugs and, you know, weeds growing up, and you got to water it, make sure it ain't getting too much sunlight, and it's a tiresome work. You know, and I don't know how, every day I'm out in the backyard in the mornings and I'm looking and I'm just waiting to see a tomato on the plant, and I ain't seen one yet. I'm waiting to see a hot pepper to be on that tree, but I have not seen anything yet. But yet every single day I got to continue to go out and I got to fend off the squirrels. I got to fight off the bugs. I got to water. I got to keep on keeping on and keeping on. And you see, when we're working in the kingdom and we're praying and we're interceding and we're praying every single day for revival and we're pressing in and we're constantly counseling and ministering to people and we're doing all of this stuff for God, sometimes you feel a little tired. But it's awesome because the Holy Spirit tells us that when we are doing a work, not just any work, but a work in the Lord, it's never in vain. You see, we can spend a lot of time doing stuff. I can spend a lot of time in my garden, but the truth is, I don't know if anything's even going to bear fruit. The squirrels might come and eat all the tomatoes before I even see them. I don't know. But when we're working in the kingdom of God, it's never in vain. And that word vain in the Greek is the word kenos. And it speaks of something that is wasted. I want to encourage you tonight, church, that anything that you do in the kingdom of God, it is never wasted. There is something that is taking place just as a natural seed when it is planted in the soil. Even though it has not broke ground and you have not seen it sprout up, there is something that is taking place under the soil with that seed. It is dying and there is something that is coming out of it, and it takes a while for it to break ground for your natural eyes to see. You see, oftentimes we pray for our loved ones, our children. We pray for our government and our nation, and we intercede, and we don't always see fruit from it or answered prayers immediately, but we must not stop. We must not stop ministering and counseling people and telling them of the love of God. I know that before I myself came into the kingdom of God, man, people invited me to church so many times, I got sick of it. I didn't want to hear about it anymore. People used to tell me, and I'm even thinking, I was going to kind of close with this, but the Holy Spirit's bringing it back to my remembrance, so let me just kind of share this. you know, before my wife got married, I've known my wife, Felicia, for many, many years, and we've been great friends. But I used to work with her mom. She's gone on to be with the Lord now, but I used to work with her. And I was a heathen. And man, she used to sow, oh, hallelujah. She used to sow the word of God. She used to invite me to church all the time, and she would tell me the word of God, and she would minister to me and everything else. And here I am now serving God. People, not just Connie, but there were so many others that had to keep on with me. But there came a time when that seed began to sprout and come up. I want to encourage you tonight to not stop. Don't become disheartened or discouraged when you're pouring in and you're working for the Lord and you're not seeing any fruit. Know that every prayer is doing something. Know that every word, every time you grab a scripture and you insert it as a solution to somebody's problem, every time you are biblically instructing somebody with the affairs of life and you're helping them, it is never wasted. It is doing something, and there will be fruit that comes out of it. I promise you. I don't promise you. The Word of God says it. And He watches over His word to perform it. So take that up with Him. Every toilsome task or a seed that is planted in the kingdom of God, no matter how small or insignificant it may seem, is never wasted. Every time you love your enemy, it's doing something. Every time you, oh hallelujah, discipline your children with scripture and in line with the word of God, it's doing something. Every prayer, every kind word, every teaching, it is doing something. Galatians 6 and 9. It says, and let us not, it's speaking of believers, and let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That word lose heart speaks of being discouraged and disheartened. In other words, I've been working and I've been doing all of this stuff for years and years and years, and I'm not seeing any fruit. I'm done. I'm throwing in the towel. Oh, no, you can't do it, because that seed is right on the brink of breaking the soil. You can't do it. You got to press in. You got to keep on. Don't get weary in well-doing. But in due season, there is a time and a season for everything. I'm just going to keep on with the analogy of the plants, because that's kind of where I'm at right now. But you go and buy seeds, and you look on the back of the package, and it says, okay, 60 days to harvest. Some 75 days to harvest. Some say 90 days to harvest. I don't like those, you know, because it takes a whole lot of time to get some fruit from it. But what I'm saying is there's different types of seeds. There's different seasons, and sometimes things take a little bit longer. Oh, God knows. I was like one of them 90 days to harvest kind of folk. But I'm here. And there are people that are rejoicing, as we're going to look here in just a moment. There are people that labored for me. There are people that labored for you to see you come in the kingdom of God for such a time as this. And they're rejoicing. They're seeing fruit. Jesus took 12 up under his wings and invested and poured into them, and they become mighty men. And they in turn put people like, you know, Silas and Timothy and Titus and Philemon, and they put them up under their wings, and they became mighty people of God. Women like Esther and women like Hannah. God has this way, this timing, and how he takes people. You know, I used to pray for my father so much, and I would get frustrated because I couldn't see any fruit in it. God said, just keep on doing it. He'll come. Don't give up, but keep pressing on. Paul encouraged the church at Corinth to be steadfast and immovable. These are two powerful words we got to look at tonight. The word steadfast, it means to be firm, to be steady, to be strong, unbendable, unbreakable, permanent, and reliable. The word immovable means it's something that's not capable of being moved from one place to another. In other words, you become a permanent fixture, a pillar. We as children of God, we walk in Him. We do His will. I got to be immovable. I can't serve God one day and then go back into the world and then go back into God and then back over here and back over there. I got to be immovable. I'm stuck in the will of God. I'm a bond servant. Hallelujah. I'm a slave to Christ. I don't belong to myself. I've been bought with a price. I belong to Him. I gotta do His will. And yes, the winds are gonna blow, and the rains are gonna come, and the darts are gonna fly. But I'm steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing in my knower that the work that I am doing, the work that we are doing, the work that you are doing, it is never in vain. It's never wasted. They didn't waste their time when they prayed for me. Oh, hallelujah. They didn't waste their time on the Apostle Paul. He said that he was the least of them. Said that the grace that God had bestowed upon his life would not be in vain, but he would labor. You get to the place where you realize that you no longer live, but it's Christ that lives in you. It's His work that I've got to do. John 4:34. When I think about somebody that is steadfast and immovable, I think of one person, and that's Jesus Christ. John 4:34, he says, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." Jesus was always abounding in the work of the Lord, and so was the early church. Hear me for a second. There was an Ethiopian eunuch that was in a chariot, and he was going down the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. And he's in his chariot, and he's reading the prophet Isaiah, but he couldn't understand it. He needed the church. There was a jailer in the prison where Paul and Silas was at, that when they begin to praise and sing praises unto God and pray at midnight, the doors flung open. The jailer got all freaked out because he thought they left and he was about to commit suicide. He needed the church. There was a woman who had a spirit of divination. She was possessed by a spirit of divination, and she was sold, and she was at the mercy of others. She needed the church. There was a woman who had an issue of blood. She needed the church. I want to tell you that there are people that are out there right now that the only answer that they have, the only answer that can ever fix every problem that they are going through, is the church. It is you. It is me. It is us. It is God in us, the hope of glory. It is the Spirit of God, the Word of God on the inside of us that is going to change this world. There is somebody out there, that person that you have been pouring into week after week after week after week. If you stop, what's going to happen to them? If we stop, if the body of Christ all of a sudden just withdraws itself from working for God, we're just leaving people to what the world wants to do with them. But I want to encourage you tonight to keep on pressing on. Keep on working. We're not in this alone. If we do our part, there'll be great fruit and a wonderful experience awaiting us in glory. I want to kind of wrap this up with John chapter 4, 36 through 38. And I want you to see something that I believe is so beautiful here. John 4, 36 through 38 says, "And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors." You see, we are all in this together and we are sowing into people's lives. And it talks about how those that sow and those that reap may rejoice together. And I go back to the story of my mother-in-law, Connie, and how she poured into my life. There is going to be a time when we get to glory and we are all going to be reunited. And the one, Connie, that sowed into my life and the one that nobody else knew, like Pastor Morgan and some of the other people in my life that sowed in, they are all going to rejoice together. And I don't know about you, but I can't wait to get to glory and to see people that were living in despair, people that were down and out and they had no hope, people that were on the verge of suicide, people that were bound up with addiction that didn't think that they would ever get free. I'm talking about people that have been abandoned. I'm talking about people that are homeless, people that put their trust in the riches of this world. And as we, as the body of Christ, begin to work and we begin to labor, I want to tell you that the Spirit of God on the inside of you, he never gets tired. He never gets weary. And if you would yield, he said that when I am weak, I am strong because I'm strong in him. I want to encourage you to lean on the strength of the Spirit of the living God that dwells on the inside of you. When you can't pray anymore, I want you to yield to the Spirit of God and let him kick you into overdrive. When you ain't got another scripture to minister, I want you to yield to the Spirit of God and allow him to bring back to your remembrance the very words of Christ. When you just feel like you can't go on anymore and you feel like you're tired, I want to encourage you to yield in the presence of God, that times of refreshing may come to you and may you be encountered by the presence of the living God, be strengthened and encouraged, and continue to put your hand to the plow, because there is a great work. There is a great work. There is a great work. He said that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Man, I can't wait. I can't wait for things to get back to the norm, at least somewhat to the norm. I don't think we're ever going to get back to the normal, because I believe that in this time and season that we're in right now, that there is an activation, a fire being lit under our rear ends as the body of Christ. We will never be the same. I believe every church is going to see increase numerically and spiritually. I believe and I see that there are leaders being raised up. I see and I decree that the church begins to operate as the early church, as Jesus did as he walked the earth for 3.5 years. I believe and I see that there are many coming into the kingdom. I see people being delivered from darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. I believe and I see Vero Beats being transformed by the power of God. Hallelujah. 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 We are here tonight, Father, because of the work that you have done through somebody that availed themselves to be used by you. We are the fruit of somebody's labor. And I pray, Father, for everyone watching. Everyone, Father, that prays, everyone that ministers, everyone that shares the gospel, everyone, Father, that is working in your kingdom. I pray that tonight, Father, your presence would strengthen them, Father. When those, Father, that have been working hard and tirelessly, Father, and they become weak and they're losing strength in their ankle bones and they're getting to be falling down a little bit, I pray, Father, that you would breathe on them with the breath of God, that you would breathe on them, that a mighty rushing wind would hit them, and that they would stand just like Ezekiel, and he prophesied to the winds, and then it was the as the sinews began to come together, and then they stood up, and it was an exceeding great army. Father, I thank you that the body of Christ, Father, is going forward. Man, God, hallelujah. There is a great, great opportunity right now for us, Father. And I thank you that we are about to see something that we have prayed for a long time. There are people that have went and passed on and are now with you in heaven that have prayed for this time that we are in right now. I thank you for the times and the seasons. Like the sons of Issachar, they were able to discern the times and the seasons of what you are doing when you were switching things of the kingdom from Saul to David. Father, we thank you for what you're doing right here and right now. And so I pray, Father, that we would all stand up and go out and do the work of the ministry. We bless you and we honor you tonight, Father. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. I hope that you were blessed and encouraged by the word of the Lord tonight. Be steadfast. Be immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is never in vain, never wasted. We bless you. We honor the God in your life. And we can't wait to see you guys. You have a wonderful Sunday evening, and we look forward to seeing you soon. God bless.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.